purpose.
So just, Ned was kind enough to drop on the WhatsApp this great quote from the Rav in Halachic Morality. Did everybody see that? Page 50. I added it to page 54 of the source sheet. I just added it. Oh, here. Sorry, I'm going to project. Hey, did anybody read Ned's edition? His late night discovery? Romy and I are not sure if Ned, you know, just reading all this stuff, and it's kind of just fortuitous that he stumbles on things related to what we're doing. It is?
There's no way.
That's
crazy. He may have chosen family or deity or whatever because of this, but
this is not good, right? This is the Halachic Morality book, right?
So yeah, no, I was just curious.
Okay, so here's what the Rav says. He says there's an additional doctrine of unity, what we may call Achdus Ha'ohev V'Ha'ahuv, the unity of the lover and the beloved. To love genuinely and sincerely is an act of identification of two persons. To love means to share an identity. That's kind of a nice rendering of Ha'ilu Basar Echad, maybe, Davak Bishto. And then here's the important part for us. And if two people love the same person, they're spontaneously united by virtue of the act of loving the same individual. That's like a general plane, right? So like if A and B love C, then there's some union between A and B. Does that make sense? I think it's a little too general. This is what I was complaining about on the WhatsApp, but Romy countered my complaint. Then the Rav applies it to parents and children. As a matter of fact, the love of husband and wife becomes enhanced. And if I was Rav's editor, I would have told him to take out sublimated. But it becomes enhanced into a most spiritual and exalted love with the birth of a child, because both love the child unqualifiedly and unreservedly. So I think Ned is totally correct that this is a nice variation of the Maharal idea, right? We agree? The Rav's saying that the birth of a child somehow enhances the union or the love between the husband and wife. My small complaint is just that I think the way the Rav says it is way too general to the point of it being unpersuasive to my mind. Like, I think if you and I are both Justin Bieber fans, like, if we both love Justin Bieber...
You bond over that.
I don't think I want to say that we're spontaneously united. You want to say that? It's like all Justin Bieber fans are spontaneously united.
Well, it's a different kind of... maybe this is your issue.
The only reason why Justin Bieber's on my mind, I was in the Amtrak lounge yesterday. No, and some senator walks in. Some senator comes in with like his whole police squad. So I turn to one of the squad guys like, oh, who's the senator? He's like, Justin Bieber.
Wait, was that Justin Bieber?
No, he's just being rude. Like, he's like, I'm not going to tell you who the senator is. I guess. He was just like... Josh, yeah, maybe he didn't know. whatever. So I think maybe it's a little like too general. I don't think you want to, to my mind, to reduce it to just the fact that anybody who has a common object of love shares something in common is too general. I think you want to say there's something special about a joint purpose in raising, nurturing, tending to a child. I think that's more substantive than just the mere fact that both have unreserved love for the child. Just my thought. Benji, you have a comment on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can take what they're saying at face value. Like, I'm saying if two people love Justin Bieber and, like, at a Justin Bieber concert, there's, like, a sense of, like,
unity
amongst everyone.
Fair enough. Like, yeah, I guess you could say we don't have unqualified and unreserved love for Justin Bieber, right? But if two people have the unreserved and unqualified love for a child, then there's like a strong union between them. Yeah.
Well, I think there's also the question of like, is it necessarily the kind of love we want? Because you can actually find another case of this outside loving a child. The first example that comes to mind is cults.
Cults.
Where you unqualifiedly and unreservedly love the cult leader. Or cults of like that nature. Like, I think it's...
You don't like the Siddush Rebbe? Are you talking about cults?
Like Jonestown.
Okay.
I guess if you want to consider the Siddush Rebbe, also be that kind. I will make no comments. But anyway, it's not something that's necessarily it's not necessarily between two people. It's a more of a group identity than mine. I don't know. It's a little difficult for me to see that it necessarily maps marriage. Maybe a different kind.
Right. That's a version of my right. It's a version of my point. It's a little too general to be unique about marriage. Correct. I want to say there's something special about jointly parenting, sharing a child, right? More than the common object of love. Romy, do you want to respond? Because this is your...
Yeah, I guess I was just wondering, meaning, I like, as I wrote in chat, I like this thing because it's very specific about what the reason for, like, a child being together is.
Right.
So, it's not because I think it's a pretty good reason. I just think that kind of reason is a good reason.
Maybe.
Like, when you say, like, something about, you know, joining and sharing a child, so it's like, well, what about it does that?
Right, so I would say it's less about the common love of the child and more about like a joint purpose, joint mission, like a joint project. That makes it very instrument, very mundane, but you know.
In a way that like being a business partner with someone would not like unify it.
I would distinguish as a matter of degree, right. Right. Like, I think like, the Rub's focusing on the love of it as opposed to, like, a common purpose. You know, the one time I heard about Sacks speak, actually, in Englewood, he had, he has this explanation about the Mishkan, like, the Psukim go crazy to explain how, like, every member of B'nai Yisrael, like, the women were sewing, and, like Psukim detail, like, what each person was doing. And he had this nice explanation that, like, look, like, B'nai Yisrael were such a disparate, unruly group in the Midbar, but, like, the Mishkan finally, like, united them in a common purpose, like, a common project, a common common goal. I think it was Medeiach and the Psukim in some way, but it's not like, that's a model you're giving the model of the business partner. I think here's, like, more of a model, similar type of model about a common purpose, project, goal, aspiration, different than just, like, how we're both, Justin, we're both love a common object. Okay. Let's turn to page 55 now. So that's kind of a wrap on the Haile Basra discussion. Let's go back to our Tshuva the Rivash here in Siman Tes Vav. We initially encountered this Tshuva of the Rivash for the Hurvu child being a shear in the Ishus component. I'm just actually going to add one more comment here along those lines. I already mentioned this on the WhatsApp. Did you guys see this came up with Zechariah in the last year? Anybody remember my exchange with Zechariah?
Yeah, about like what if you just have one child?
Yeah, exactly. So the standard reading, so the Rivash himself says that in the Gemara, we're not going to force a couple to separate unless... So the Rivash's view is that we're going to force the couple to separate so long as they didn't fulfill Pururvu. That's the Rivash's reading. Everybody cool with that? But then he quoted a Yesh Mefarshim who said, it's not about Pururvu per se, it's really about, and this is over here, Kain Das Ktas Mefarshim, that, you know, so long as they have any child, we're no longer going to compel them to separate. Correct? In the Rivash, he interpreted that shita as efshar shetelet lo od. Shehari kvar zacha libanos himanos. Like, once they have one child, then we could assume that they'll have another child. Yes? So it's like, okay, we're not going to separate them because there's reason to believe that they'll fulfill furu. It's like an epistemic comment. Yes? I was saying you don't have to read that this Yesh Mefarshim, this Das Ktas Mefarshim that way. And in the Pischei Tshuva, you get that explicitly. You get that explicitly in Kuf Nun Dalid Yud. And Sifkatan Chavav in the Pischei Tshuva. Somebody want to tell us about this? This is on the Siman in Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Nun Dalid Yud, where he talks about Nasa Ima V'Shasa Ima Asar Shana V'lo Yalda. So the language of the Shulchan Aruch is V'lo Yalda. She didn't give birth, which implies what?
No kids.
Which implies that one child would be sufficient reason to no longer force separation. Correct? The Pischei Tshuva is medayik as much, he quotes one view and says, "Hainu kashihi ru'uya laholid, aval kashihi zakena kofin." One view is if the couple has a child and the wife is, let's say, postmenopausal, so she's not going to have further children, then you would force a divorce at that point. Okay, that's like the Ribash's view that shahak ima eser shanim is really powered by mitzvahs peruv. Okay, but the Pesachei Tshuva himself disagrees. And by the way, he acknowledges that the Ribash seems to hold that way. Chenir midivrei Ribash. Aval midivrei anemukei Yosef, delo chilek bekach einirakein. He's saying, look, there are other mefarshim out there that disagree, and they hold that al sheyesh lo ben echad lo tnan b'masnisen. So long as the couple has one child, then we're no longer going to compel them to separate. And he says, since that's the pashup shot in the Mishnah, we should not endorse the Ribash's chiddush. V'chein ra'inu me'olam anshe Hashem shelo girshu nishoseim hazkenos af sheyesh lahem kiim ben echad o bas achas. Ayin sham. You know, this is like an interesting point, just like the philosophy of halakha about what counts as good evidence in favor of the shita. And he's saying the fact that these gedolei anshe Hashem didn't divorce their wives even if they only had one child, that's evidence of its like halakhic validity. Right? You guys familiar with this? You know, Tosos has this very often about like what are people doing as evidence. This is an example of that. And what's significant for our analysis is you might say, what's the significance of one child if you're not fulfilling Peruvu? Right, so this is my response to Ezra that Lihibanos Yachad could be more of the depth of the marriage and less about the unrelated question of producing further generations to inhabit the world. Producing people to inhabit the world. Right, Ezra? Yeah. So I think this sheet is really good. What? Why it's significant? Yeah, sure, because the din in Shulchan Aruch is that if they have one child, according to the Pesachei Tshuva, we're not going to force the couple to separate, even if they only had one child over 10 years. What's the significance of having one child? Right? So the thought is that if it's about Peruvu, this shita is incoherent. Because one child doesn't produce Peruvu.
Same with the Ribash.
He's explicitly countering the Ribash, even in a case where the woman's a Zakena. He's saying we know she's not going to have further kids.
Okay,
well, right? It's a case where let's say they took out the woman's uterus. So even in such a case, he's saying we're not going to force separation. There's no capacity for fulfilling the mitzvah peruvu. Right? So I think one way, to my mind, one good way of reading this is that, oh, there is Zochel Lihibanos Yachad. So that's like some completion to the marriage. That's like my diak in the Mordechai. Like the Nesu'in is a mitzvah contingent on Lihibanos Yachad, not necessarily on Peruvu. Not necessarily on having two children, Benu Bas, or, right?
You've got to change the Das Yachad, though, because the Ramah, when he brings it down, is from down the Zakena part. It just says, it's Yeshomim, right?
Who cares? Well, what if he's a Das Yachid? So what is that Das Yachid exemplifying? Like, what is that Das Yachid holding, right?
No?
Right? Do you see what I'm saying? Abe, did I answer your question? So the thought is that this shita is clearly about the significance of a child being about the type of marriage that exists. One that's not one that should not be broken apart, like a marriage that maybe like fulfilled the depth of the union, not about fulfillment of Peruvu. Or to put it in like more yeshivish terms, this is not a din in Hilchos Peruvu, it's a din in Hilchos Kiddushin, Hilchos Ishos, Hilchos Nesu'in. Does that help you?
Yeah.
Okay, Daniel.
Okay, I don't know if
this is
totally true, but I feel like you might also have like a Tanakh might support for that. Like, for example, the whole reason why Sarah let Avram marry Hagar is because she couldn't have a kid, right? And once she had, like, just one kid, that's it, right? You kind of get the impression that had she had it before, like, There was no reason.
That's interesting. So, like, if Sarah would, Sarah having one child.
I mean, obviously, I don't actually have any.
It's interesting.
If she had one, I don't know if she would have consented.
Right, counterfactually, right? If Yitzhak were born, would there still have been grounds for Avram to marry Hagar? It's interesting. It's a little complicated because it's counterfactual. It's Puruvu, Kodem Matan Torah. Although Puruvu is Kodem Matan Torah.
But I think it just shows also like a little bit of like, I guess how, I think it kind of supports the sense that like the merit is kind of like more solidified in a way.
Yeah, that's interesting. We should look at this psukim. Homework for you, Daniel. Go back to the psukim and kind of see what the psukim, you know, it is interesting. Like in Levi, upon me love it's like in Leah's naming of the kids, right? A lot of them seem to be like, oh, like a further child is gonna deepen the union between her and Yaakov. No, isn't that sometimes like definitely in Levi's name? Like now my husband will accompany me. Does this sound familiar? Do you guys not know?
We're working on it.
True. Yeah, I don't know, but I would want to look for rayas about like in Tanakh, kind of like Daniel's suggesting, to see that the children is like a uniting of the two.
What?
Well, yeah, usually loved him a minute, right?
But it wasn't saying that it was uniting him and his wife.
It's a good point. We'll send Ned on the expedition to find this. Josh and then Ariel.
Yeah, I just want to, I mean, well, I agree with you, like, I want to push back a little bit. Is it the only explanation for this is the unifying of marriage, or could it just be the same thing we saw before, that perhaps there are external reasons why it's hard to get a divorce when you have a kid, and so when you have a kid, being technically, fundamentally, from the day you should get divorced, that, you know, you have one kid, and now it's hard to get divorced, so.
Yeah, you could say that. You could, I agree, you could say two things if you want to accept this Pesachei Tshuva's rejection of the Rivash, but still reject my interpretation. You can either say what Josh is saying, which is like, oh, Rachmanos on the kids now, like, where are they going to live if their parents are separated? Right? That's one, like, the Mishnah Nedarim that we saw. Or you could go in the direction and say, somebody mentioned this, I think, on Sunday Shir, maybe Puruvu Midaraisa is really one kid, and then just the Shir Beishamai Beishilo 2 is like a rabbinic extension or something like that. Those are two ways you could disagree with my reading, but don't think about that too deeply. I like my reading. I think it's like a very compelling big picture. Ariel?
With Avram and Sarah. Isn't that like almost a complete disproof to this notion? Because you see, even divorce, you could have kids, you just have another one.
Well, there is a discussion about, it is a tricky discussion, about no se, ishal, ishto. Yeah. Okay, so let's just mention, everybody good with that analysis? Yeah, let's just clarify from last week. Romy, do you want to tell everyone your story, or you don't want to tell the story that you told me in Mishnah Medrash?
I can.
You could or you can't?
No, I can. I was trying to think of, I was going to say that somebody...
Also about Darshin on Lashon Hedyo, Lashon of Bnei Adam.
Somebody texted me this morning and said, and asked me, like, oh, do you know, like, X person, like, are they dating, whatever, I'll set them up, blah, blah. Like,
Roll me the shot, son.
So I said, kind of awkward, they're married. And then the person said, with a kid.
See that?
I never heard that before.
Was he being serious or no? It was for me tomorrow texting
for the I assume you knew who the person was, right? Like, okay, good, there you go. But see, I'm saying there's something, even that mindset is, it exists out there in the world.
Like what, if he didn't have a kid, like, he would set him up?
Okay, it's a big deal. They could always set up, get divorced, and then we'll set it up. unless they're like, oh, they have a kid, we'll set up the kid, you know, instead.
Sorry.
Yeah.
On the, just on the Avram Tzara point, just like the Pesukim, the way that he says it is,
yeah, Iban Nani Nen is always interesting. Same with Bilan Zilpa. Yeah.
Which just suggest, like, I think relates to, meaning if you're assuming that it's not a guru and having, well, like, having enough to, like, you know, increase the population in the world or match the population in the world, so then it just fits well with the fact they also eat them, the same kind of...
As one child.
I'm saying, yeah, in the language, which suggests that, I don't know...
Remember, the Mordechai used that phrase also, right? Lo yizkul libanos yachad.
But I don't know if you have to, I mean, you could take it in this direction, but at the very least it's suggesting that, like, there's something more substantial about, like, having a child with the per- like with that person. Meaning, yeah. I don't know if that's considered because it deepens your relationship more, because there's something meaningful about putting that, doing it in the world.
Yeah, because we have to... This idea of ibanez, like, livnos, right? Asher lo yivnes beis achiv. What's that getting at? I think it's worth looking into. Yeah. Okay. So... one more related issue. So let's talk about this Pischei Tshuva, Kuf Nun Dalet Chav Zayin. Very exciting. Josh told me, Josh Piro told me he liked this Pischei Tshuva.
Yeah.
Right? So tell me, Roni, you also liked it?
No, I was just going to say, so you should read the whole thing.
Okay. Fine, read the whole thing. Well, let's get the story here. Like, the nice thing about Tshuva is you get good stories from them. Tell us about Kuf Nun Dalet Chav Zayin.
Guy had struggling to have children with his wife, but his wife was awesome. She's like superwoman.
Look at that phrase. Kasha olav agerushin ki hi eisha eskaya liyiras Hashem.
Yeah, she helped him learn. She like helped him when he was sick. She brought in an orphan to the house.
Yeah.
Like they learned, he learned, the orphan learned with the husband. But they can't have children, so you don't know if he has to divorce them or not, or whether he should do the Baal Pasul.
Yeah, great case, right? He clearly loves this woman a lot, doesn't want to divorce her, he acknowledges that she's an Eish Hashem, the Yiras Hashem.
I assume that this is a conjunction. He Eish Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Val Yada Yachal Lahasma Bili Muda. She's not just awesome insofar as she lets him sit in his face, but she also takes good care of him. Himashkeches ela bebrias gufo. She lets him learn with this yasom that she's raising in the house, right? So everything's amazing about her. Everything's amazing about the marriage, except that there are no children. It's a very interesting contrast to the Shuvei Hamet case that I put on, right? So, and the interesting thing is, this is already post the Rivash. Remember, the Rivash that we read, Simin Tesvav, gets enshrined in Shulchan Aruch, right at the beginning of Hilchos Eben Ezer. That nowadays we don't force people to separate over not having children for 10 years. In this Tshuva itself, we get a whole different, you know, three different reasons why. Maybe it's only in Eretz Yisrael, blah, blah, blah. So he acknowledges, the Shoel acknowledges that Bizman is that we're not Kofa. But what's the issue? We're not going to force him to separate.
Is there
a few
want him to do it?
Yeah, he wants to know, like, Pen yivyeyu elokim b'mishpat.
Yeah, like, Ben Alamakom, he's just saying, is it the right thing to do to stay in this union?
Great question, right? So if you just learned the sugya, what do you say? Yeah, Ezra would paskin like chucker. Is that what you paskin or?
I think that's still how.
Amazing. It's probably what the Chashugei Chamed would say. Also,
yeah,
right.
Ezra's a
chinuch. What? Yeah, right. Klei Chamda. So the Pischei Tshuva seems. The Pischei Tshuva poses this question. He goes through an analysis of the rules of Shol Yimo Eser Shanim. Is it only Eretz Yisrael? Is it even Chutz La'aretz? It's only when we think the problem comes from her, not that he's infertile. He's like, oh, maybe it comes from him because we know he's sick anyway. Then he goes into an analysis about the financial costs of divorce. And so he says, you know, just to be Yotze Yidei Shemayim, there are enough Sveikos here to say that he doesn't have to divorce her. And he says, Ve'od is the interesting phrase. What's going on here? Roni, you want to tell us this phrase, or you have a separate hand?
A separate hand.
So one second, hold up on the separate hand. On the separate hand for a second. Josh, what's this phrase? Oh, it's beautiful. Is that an additional consideration? Is this must be of Yiras Hashem? I think V'yari Elokim or like the Kazu Asher Yachol Leishiv Lomo Kamasha. So we can hold off on the Yachol Lomo Kamasha. But the thought is, like, he thinks a relevant consideration is...
I'm not going to find the wife like this one.
Yeah, that you know, you won't find... Maybe you'll find somebody you can have children with, but you won't find somebody as wonderful as this first woman. Right, that, he thinks that's a concern. And so he says, look, it's also a suffix if he'll have children from somebody else. Vizu... go read this phrase. Vizu he... So he's saying, look, there's something, this woman is so special, etc., etc., that there's no reason to divorce her. So what do you make of this tshuva, Josh?
I mean, I know this card thinks something different, but I think it's a great example of, like, opposing to taking in humane elements into his psak and saying that I'm not going to ruin this entire, like, you can't just ruin this entire guy's life. Like, meaning he's got, you know, a perfect situation, and even if looking at strict din, perhaps you can make an argument for divorce, I think, like, when you look at the broader, you know, humane element that it would be wrong to do.
Yeah, I think there's definitely that vibe from the Pesachei Tshuva. I just want to break up this union. But I would couch it in more... I'm not as soft as you are, Josh. I would couch it even more in terms of just like halachic principles language, which is Daniel.
I mean, I was just going to say that similar to what Josh, you're not quite as that, like, there's other values involved when it comes to other, like, halachic and core values involved when it comes to marriage other than just having kids. And those values are being met at, like, it's an optimal standard.
Yeah, so which one would you point to? Which in particular? Well, yeah, I mean, that does seem to, yes, that does seem to feature quite prominently. Well, that's the Sichas Musar version of this. You know, it's like, look, you know, Mrs. Kruger, but Talmud Torah is more important. Maharaya, the Pistei Tshuva. You know, see Josh's Times of Israel article about the Sichas Musar. So there's a Talmud Torah dimension, but I mean, if you don't go in the Talmud Torah direction, he just keeps emphasizing that this woman's the Isha Schayil V'Yari Elokim, right? And it seems like a really good union between them, right? Efshar Shaloyi, Masha Efshar Shaloyi came by Cheres.
So I actually agree there's a way to read this tshuva that everything reduces to his Talmud Torah setup. I think there actually is a way to read the tshuva this way. And he's actually leaning on like a Ben Azai type consideration.
But I think there's also a good way of reading this tshuva where he's saying, look, if the union is so good between them, we're not going to destroy that for Puravu. And forget about it at the level of Kfiyah, even Bidei Shemayim, even at the level of Inam Lumakam, Lefnei Mishur Sadin, we're not going to counsel him to separate this marriage. Right? So let's take Roni and then Josh.
I was just thinking when we were talking about the Yachon, it's kind of like similar to a lot of cases today where people will like stay with their wives even if one of them can't conceive for whatever reason. And they
yeah, when you think of this halachically, like halacha lemaisa, it's so
right, and they'll adopt. And
it's like, so relevant. It's so relevant.
It is.
And
I have someone like on my block that did that. I don't know if she's such an Isha Chayil based on what you're coming out of the house. But still, like, they stayed together and they were able to adopt. And based on what the Rav said, and Ned said last night, so late that he can't be in there,
I would say that, I mean, there's no reason based on the words that the Rav said that you can't also have that same unity through love of an adopted child.
Yeah, right, that's interesting. It's an interesting observation. I think I mentioned that here, I could add to the source sheet. See, if I were the Mishnah here, I would have thrown in a second. There are some posting would think, Kol HaMegadel Yasom V'Yisoma B'Soch Beso Mala Lavakasov Kilu Yilado.
He's not Gemara.
Gemara Sanhedrin. I think Gemara Sanhedrin says that.
He said post-Gemara.
Yeah, but I didn't finish my sentence. First of all, aren't they? You don't think the people on the Gemara aren't post-Gemara also? Like, you have to wear a black hat, not a turban, to be a post-Gemara? What's your... Why can't you... Now, Ezra?
Please.
beyond the Gemara, some like a Shlomo Kluger holds that you could fulfill Puru Ruhu that way. That could have been thrown into this along the lines that you're saying, or even if not Puru Ruhu, like this dimension of Lihibanos Yachad,
right?
Maybe could be fulfilled. And it, of course, it gets more complicated in like modern day questions, like if you have like donor eggs and like donor genetics, things like that. Would Puru Ruhu require like pure genetic material? It's not obvious, right? And then once, if you think no over there, then Kol HaMegadel Yasom V'Yisoma could also be fulfillment of that. But I think Rav Shlomo Kluger himself explicitly holds this. And Megadol Yasom V'Yisoma Sof Beso could be a form of Puru Ruhu. Yeah. Notice the Meshiv here doesn't go in that direction. Right? He doesn't say, oh, and you're being Megadol Yasom V'Yisoma Beso, so like that's Kilu Yilado. That doesn't come up in this tshuva. But if I were him, say you could have thrown that in as a... If he holds by Shlomo Kluger, you would have thrown that in as a important consideration here. Josh and then Ezra.
It's also interesting in terms of, let's say, figuring out mitzvah versus, let's say, other factors. Like the Shukei Chemed and the Rebosh go the opposite way, where the Shukei Chemed saying that your personal... are you saying that the mitzvah should trump any other value that you have, and then your personal kava. The Rivash, even though he argues we don't practice this, Maker Adin would say, no, it should be in practice, I would say, you should separate in a case like this.
Yeah. See, I think this is a very good point
about how much at loggerheads the Chashukei Chemed is with this Piskei Tshuva. I think you're totally right to say that they're diametrically opposed.
And the Rivash.
Yeah, the Rivash too.
The Rivash Maker Adin seems to be saying, based on the Gemara, that we're kofan the garish bal karchan.
Yeah,
like, no matter how great.
You do it at the end.
What?
Like, he says at the end that you can.
Well, we're going to go back to the Rivash, but that's like he's upset that the guy didn't listen to the Dayanim.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, if you're upset with him, then you could be Kofel Agarit. Like, you could be Kofel. We'll look at that inside in a second. So I think that's right. This is a major tension here between saying, look, there are no kids, so Kofel Agarit. That's the Rivash. That's the Chashukei Chemed has the inverse view of that, which is even if there's like no love, respect, anything between the couple, like it's still proper to get married just for the sake of Puru Ruhu. That's the Chashukei Chemed's view. We'll look at that in a second. And the opposite of that is sort of this Piskei Tshuva where he's saying, look, if there's a lot of love and respect and goodness to the union, that's worthy of preserving even if there's no Puru Ruhu. Anybody see that? Josh?
Well, those don't necessarily contradict each other.
They don't necessarily contradict each other. Yeah. Correct. But they are at loggerheads.
I mean, I don't really know what that means.
Ezra.
So me and Ned agree that the Piskei Tshuva, as opposed to Josh, is mostly talking about practical reasons why. He mentions financial reasons. He mentions that it'd be hard to find another person who would take care of him. I mean, it seems very practical. Also, Josh, that I don't think at all necessarily the Chashukei Chemed and Piskei Tshuva are arguing, because the Chashukei Chemed is just saying about marrying someone else, not divorcing someone. Piskei Tshuva is talking about divorcing your wife. Maybe Chashukei Chemed would agree, because in the Chashukei Chemed's case, he's not married to him. He's not divorcing.
Right, him. Right. But the Rivash, right? The Rivash, you get a similar view in the Rivash, though, right? There's no. If there's no Peru, then you compel divorce.
Okay, I'm saying
that. Josh, do you want to say something? Or?
Meaning it's a larger discussion about philosophy of halacha.
Which is?
Meaning, there's this quote from Ravaran that, illustrations of part, however, the courtesy and legitimacy of the human approach to Pesach appears to many.
You're reading so fast, I know, yes. I didn't hear a single word you said.
They would have us believe that the ideal Pesach is a faceless and heartless supercomputer into whom all of the relevant data is fed and who then produces the right answer. Should the standard not be met, the shortfall is to be regarded as a failing, the lamentable result of human frailty. But, like, you know, Ravar goes on to say that, like, that's not how Pesach works. Like, this is my response to Ezra.
It's
just,
it says nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't think that. Yeah. Okay, he's taking into consideration practical issues.
No.
Well, this is a deeper philosophy of halakha. We'll table it for now. And we can't have it without Ned here, so we have to wait for his return. Okay. So, I think that Pesachei Tshuva is a very good illustration of kind of the complexity of the tension between different aspects of the union of Ishus. The kind of the bond between the two of them versus the, you might say, the horizontal bond versus like a vertical bond. Right? Like in the Pesachei Tshuva's case, like their relationship is very perfect, but there are no children. And he wants to say that the horizontal could trump the vertical, right? That's kind of what you get from the Pesachei Tshuva. Okay, let's close this section with just looking back at the Rivash and Siman Tesvav, and this will transition us to the next topic for today. So this Rivash is a majorly influential for a number of reasons. We took one thing out of it in our last year, this idea of Lozachal Ivanos Gaka. Today I want to focus on a different aspect of the Rivash. Of course, they're intertwined, but they are separable. So what's this Rivash, like, what is he doing? What's he saying? So let's go back to the case. What was the issue in Siman Tesvav and the Rivash? You guys all know when the Rivash lived? When did the Rivash live, more or less? Early 1400s, late 1300s. Started off in Spain, ended up in North Africa. So in this tshuva, he was asked about this guy who wanted to marry a woman. Why do you want to marry her, Benji?
Because...
What?
He had not had kids yet.
No, that's not why he wanted to marry her.
She had a lot of money.
Yes, she had a lot of money. In some circles, they would call him... what's the phrase? A gold digger? What is it?
A gold digger,
right? And it seems like he was unabashed about this, and everybody knew about this. Right? Ratza Lisa Zakena Achas, Bas Tishim Shano Yoser, Vihi Almanas. She was the Almana of some big. Well? Yeah, Arichas Yamin back then also, right? She was the Almana of.
She was about to die any second,
though. some big veer. Right? From Valencia. I assume that's Valencia. Va'kal michu b'yad, also very interesting, the kala wouldn't allow it, right? Like the kala stepped in and said, we're not going to allow this marriage to go through. Lo nosnu lo reshus lisa'ena. Lefi she'eno nosa l'shem nesu'en ela she'nosan e'na b'mamon. He has kenan his keres yeshla kimo pei kfulo shel zahav. She had so much money. Right? Notice in the Shaila, there are two separate bases for blocking the marriage, each of which seems to be independently sufficient for the call to be mocha. Ki hazakena hanizkares yeshla, he's so much money, he's marrying her l'shem mamon, nasan eina b'mamon, and moreover, od she'ein lo banim. So we really focused on the ein lo banim dimension until now. But there is also this separate dimension of, like, is that a bad... Does the halacha frown on marriages that are just for the purpose of making money? Right? That's kind of the question here. So he starts off with the Puravu thing. Fine. So let's skip to the other part of it. The Rivash makes the general point that, look, nowadays we're not so inclined to force people, we're not kofan gerushin, correct? So let's see. He says this. V'chein. This is on page 56. Second, actually. Yeah, sorry. Here, talking about the Puravu thing, he says, Kol zeh shuras adin lefiya gemara. Mikra din, according to the Gemara, is on page 56. According to the Gemara, we are kofel agarish. Aval manasa shelo reinu biyameinu velo shamanu mikama doros bezdin shenizkak lezeh lachuf ulehotzi biisha sheshasa imbaila asar shana velo yalda. So this is just an interesting point. When did, but they didn't stop enforcing the rules of Simon Kufn and Dalit of forcing a couple to separate against their will. And the Rivash says, already in his day, whatever it is, the 1400s, he's giving us edos that they weren't enforcing these things. He even uses a very striking phrase, which we'll see later on, of he'limu einehem, like the bezin kind of looked the other way. Okay? And then he goes on to say, that's all about the Puravu case. And then he says, and this is on page 56, that v'chein lo re'inu bezdin, Shenizkak limchos b'misha nosei ktana. The bezin doesn't force somebody to, you know, break up with a ktana who can't have children, etc. Even though the Gemara frowns on it, the Gemara says misha yesh hani denosvi ktanos ma'akvenas hamashiach. We should see. We should look at that. Like, why is, like, what's going on here? And by the way, I want to say, looming in the background here is the debate with Romy on Tuesday about these different types of unions in halakha, right? See, because I think like this, look, it's very easy to say there are chayve lavin, almana lekohen gadol, grusha v'chalutz lekohen nedir. Those are yisurim. You have arayos. So these are all cases where there's like bona fide iser in the marriage, right? But then you have cases that are much less than this. But there also seems to be some halakhic objection to the marriage. So what are those cases, and what do you make of them? Right. So we'll see a few in a minute. But I'm just going to flag over here again some of which we saw. Even like Zivug Rishon versus Zivug Sheni, that's a very clear case where the halakha distinguishes that some of the dinim. But what are some of the in-between things that are like halakhically frowned upon, but not because of any isser involved? Okay, so let's look at some of those cases. That's what you saw in Simon Bays in Ibn Ezer. Okay, and a lot of Simon Bays is kind of pulling stuff out of this Rivash. Says v'chein, so we're told there's something wrong with being nosei ketana. V'chein amru aser la'adam sheikadosh es bita ad she'tigdal v'tomer bifnei ploni ani rotza. So the thought is, look, there's a din in the Gemara that ketana, a woman shouldn't get married until she consents, like she says she wants to marry this guy once she's of sound judgment, right, once she's a girl. Now we don't block the marriage of the ketana. But the Gemara says it's prohibited to allow her to get married. But there's some iser involved. Okay, so like, that's one thing that could go here. I'm not going to put it up yet. But here's something even more striking. V'chein bibas kohen ubas talmud chacham la'am haaretz. V'chein bas am haaretz la'talmud chacham. Did I mention this? I don't think I mentioned this in Shir, but I mentioned it on the WhatsApp. Did I mention it in Shir? No. This is the Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara seems to say that there's a problem with Bas Talmud Chacham marrying an Am Haaretz, or Bas Am Haaretz for marrying an Am Chacham. Now, I take it nobody here wants to say there's some Isser involved. Right? That'd be a very strange view. Or same for a Bas Kohen from an Amar. So, like, what's... Well, what is it? You have a... Sure? No, it's fine. It's a strange... It is a very striking halacha. Now, Romy's going to say, this is Romy's issue. Well, what are the nafkamina of this? Right? Like, is there any nafkamina, like, of this being, like, a different type of union or a frowned upon union? Sorry, what is that? Well, no, you could win. Okay. But then he says this. Look at, and this is crucial. V'lezeh, im hayu bezdin nizkakin ledakdek al pishuras adin b'inyane hazivugim l'chvosam, hayu tzrichim l'chvos es kulam. So, is a big, to my mind, is a big chiddush of the Rivash. What's he saying here? Josh?
Bidin was going to go around, like, force people to get divorced. Then, you know, like, I have to make everybody get divorced. Like, a lot of...
Who's everyone?
All of these cases, right?
The aforementioned, the, like, the foregoing.
Yeah.
But the aforementioned cases. So, the Rebush starts off by saying, oh, a case with their Shah, Ima, Shami, Lo Yalta. We're not kofa on that. And he's like, oh, and by the way, there are a million other types of unions that the halacha would normally be kofa on, which are not... No hate to enforce nowadays, such as for the Baal HaMakom Ma'amaris. Right? So the diak here is that the Rivash thinks that in principle, this is like, this warrants the Beis Din breaking up that union. Do you agree? No, diak the Rivash? Gosh, you have a thought on this? It's a very, very big Kiddush. It's a very big Kiddush. We'll talk later on. I'm just flagging it here for now. Like, Rumi, you have to say something about, like, what's wrong. Right? It sounds almost like... Well?
That I was going to say.
That what?
Meaning, you have to figure out why that's problematic and what it means for me to be problematic, but not usher. And this is so it's like...
Right, it's a very interesting middle ground.
Like, yeah, why would it mean to not be usher, but it is problematic, but not enough to break it up, or yes, enough to break it up, but still not usher.
Right, or it's like some middle ground, and he even says, like, oh, and by the way, like, nowadays we're not going to enforce this, right? Why? Because it's going to be tarbe haktata v'amariba.
And if it's really a problem, then why is that a good reason to not?
Right. Yeah, so notice the parallel to the Pesachei Tshuva that we read, where he's saying, look, in principle, there are halachic grounds to dissolve these unions, but, like, so much badness would come from breaking all these things up, so much ktata v'amariba, whatever... That, like, it's just, like the costs, moral, social, whatever, halachic, are just too high to actually enforce this little piece of halacha. But just on the meta issue with Romy, I think this is kind of another, like, there's some pigam in this type of union. How serious, whatever, but that has to be fleshed out. You guys agree? David?
Yeah, also, I mean... It seems to imply that
Jason
has some sort of like...
Oh, let me just say one more thing, David. Meaning, he's saying, look, so long as like the couple is happy, kol sheshneihem rotzim, and there's no like bona fide genuine isser, then the Bezdin's not going to accept it. Right, so it's like similar to like the Pesachei Tshuva, not as extreme. He's saying, but dai lo hem ladunam al pi adin kishayesh machlokas ben ish l'ishto v'nikshu l'mishav shavtam al pi haTorah. You know, but like when there is some sort of fight or something, then maybe we'll be more prone to dissolve it. Like once they start. Like litigating their like whether they should be together. Josh? Oh, sorry, that's David and then Josh. David.
Like it seems to imply that Jason has some sort of like
discretion.
Like discretion and sort of like a personal assessment of like not even in terms of there's some sort of test that we're going to apply every time and this is like a litmus test and this passes, this doesn't, but almost that Jason can say, well, we feel that this particular issue is like there's too much of like social, you know, what other considerations.
Yeah.
Meaning you could imagine in a different time period where that was less common and sort of enforcing it wouldn't have such a great impact that Mason would then be able to say, well, that's enforcement.
Yeah. Look even at the language of the Rivash's directive. He says, so coming back to the case of the woman who's being married, right? the husband has no kids and the woman can't give him children. He says, "Im tirtzu laha leme nechem." Kasher nagu baharbe kihilos gedolos v'tovos maleos chacham v'anshe maizor shus b'yadchem har shus b'yadchem. That speaks to this discretion here. It's almost like it's not a binary either or, right? Either kvi or no kvi. You say, look, it's kind of a judgment call here. Maybe there are a lot of factors, right? You know, would separating them cause like ktata, what phrase did he use earlier? Tata Mariva. It's really like it wouldn't be wrong to be kofer them to separate, but you know, it's perfectly okay to be ma'alim ayin. Right? Ha'alimu chachme adoros esay ne'em. Josh, you had a thought on this?
Yeah, what is Isser Kedusha? Is that like
what is Isser Kedusha?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he means like Chayvei Lavin. Like not arayos necessarily, but some sort of prohibition of like a Kohen Machmas Kedusha shouldn't marry Grusha, something like that. Okay. Then he goes on a little further. He does raise something, you'll see this in the Shulchan Aruch, but he deflates it. He says, Masha Kasavtem. So then he goes really just to adjust the concern. What if he's the fact that he's marrying this woman just for money? So I'm going to put that over here as a separate category. No say isha l'shem mamon. What's the din? The community in this case wasn't going to allow the couple to get married because he was just marrying her for her estate. Is that grounds to block a marriage? Like, Romy, do you think that, does Halacha have a view about, like, that type of union?
I don't know, but yeah, I think it's...
By the way, I'm going to add to this list what we're going to get to later.
You love that case?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right, I mean, or a version of like clearly almanas like garbage. Right, so there seems to be these types of unions that maybe are recognized as valid marriages. But I think what I want to say is like there's somewhat special cases, lesser type of unions, and there could be like a lot of nafkamina to that. Not just in like the legitimacy or justificatory grounds for gerushin, right? Or kfiyah, separation, yeah, Romy.
But here it's unclear whether or not this is saying like this is a worse marriage. A lot of things like you really shouldn't do this, not as bad as an isser, but it's not as, like you shouldn't do it, or if it just means like there will be bad ramifications, like. Right.
So let's look at this. Yeah, like, okay, that seems like first of all, I don't know how that works, but just leaving
that aside for a second.
Like, what's going to be with the kids?
Meaning,
saying how does it work out if the kids are bad? If
does that mean like magic, or does it mean like if you're that kind of person and you're like raising kids in a bad way? Whatever. That's the second question. I'm more confident with the second thing. But,
hey, say everything again.
Just what you could say that's like magic, like there's just like the way that hashkafa works is that you marry someone for that reason, then like you're gonna mess with the kids.
Yeah, the Maral says that.
I'm not inclined to think like that.
You don't get into Maral's genetics.
You can say.
The Maral says that like the child is born by the dvikas, like the union of the two people. He says when a person gets married for money, like his dvikas is with the money, not with the wife. So,
and therefore,
all right. Doesn't move you?
What? This is why you think this is money resulting in bad children. No. Anyways.
Because they're half they're half money, not half human. Not full human.
What does that mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe they're very valuable people. I don't know. But anyways, the point is just meaning whatever. I mean, I'm more inclined to say that it has nothing to do with, like, if you're that kind of mindset of person. But
yeah.
My real point is, this would not mean, like, Allah said it's less of this kind of marriage. It just means their applications and decisions that you make, and therefore it's a token.
So the Shoel here, I think, thinks that we would split up this type of marriage. Like, it's right. It's kfilah garish. The Ravash himself says, no, it's only if it's like a woman who's pasul that you only married for money reasons.
Right. But leaving aside whether or not there'd be kfilah here, it's still unclear, like the Ravash is saying it isn't. It's unclear whether he thinks, well, it's problematic but not enough for kfilah, or if he thinks it's not even the kind of problem, it's not even like problematic from Ravash's perspective as much as it is, like, you should be careful because...
Right, so let's look in Shulchan Aruch. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. So let's look here. So this is the examples of the lesser cases. I'm just going to hold off on this Rosh Bash for now. Let's look here at Simon Bays for a moment. So I put Simon Bays on page 64. So if you look at this is Hilchos Peri Ribe. That's where Shulchan Aruch opens up Eben Ezer. Correct? Yes? In Simin Beis, you get a whole bunch of dinim. Lo yisad amisha sheyesh ba shum psul. Okay? Kano seyesh ha psula mishum mamon haven labanim shenim uganim. Cites the Rivash. If it's no seyesh la shum mamon who's not psula, it's mutter. Blah, blah, blah. And he talks about Mamzerus, Yuchsin, Mishpacha Shekara La Irur, bad midos in a family, all these types of like Yuchsin concerns. Mamzer, Stuki, Nasen, Shosek, whatever. And then in Sifhei, he talks about Mishpacha Shinasari Basafek Chalal, also like a major Yuchsin type consideration. And then Sivav, you move away from those things to La'olam Yishtadel Adam Lisa Bas Talmud Chacham U'lohasi Bas Talmud Chacham Lo Matza Bas Talmud Chacham Yisa Bas Gedoli Adar blah 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 Lo Matza Bas Gedoli Adar Yisa Bas Roshi Knesios Yisa Bas Gabay Tzedaka etc. Now you also get this notion here, Va'al Yasi Bito La'am Aretz. That's a version of what I have here, right? On the board. And then we're told, Haga Va'al Ben Oseinu Omer Arur Shochev in Behema. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't have pleasant things to say about Am Aretz. V'chol Zeh Ba'am Aretz Einu Medaktik B'mitzvos. So what type of halacha is this? Hard to know. In Sifches, you get Am Aretz Lo Yisa Kohenes. Also a version of what I put on the board. Right? V'im Nasa Ein Zivugam Ola Yafe. So the question is what type of... So Romy, you're going to ask what type of thing is that? Right? That the Shidduch won't work out well?
Yeah.
The Gemara says Shiyamasu Ohi Mehera O Takala Tavo Beneyem. Like, some bad thing will happen. Well, feel free to object. I mean, then in Siftes, you get Lo Yisa Bachur Zakena, Velo Zakein Yalda, Shadavar Zet Gorim Liznos. So that's like a bad type of union. What do you make of Davar Zet Gorim Liznos? Just like they won't be fully satisfied with each other, I think, in some way. And then Sifyud, Lo Yisa Adam Isha V'daito Ligarsha. So that's like,
the guy in here, a Zakin with Yalda, or Zakina with a buffer.
What's going on in these halachos? From me?
Again, I think you have to distinguish, like, I don't know if you're allowed to do this or not, but like, it tells us pretty trivial. It's not talking about condition or getting, like, I'm more inclined to think this is intentionally different categories than all these yisurim because it's not the same kind of thing. It's like, you gotta watch out. These are things that could like harm, or, like harmful things, you know, to set up this kind of relationship, either for your ichus or for the way that you can raise your kids or for the kind of home you're gonna create or something like that.
Okay, but he doesn't have lo yisad amisha sheyesh ba shum psul. And he also has sheyishtadel kol adam likach lo isha haguna.
Yeah, which is exactly the...
It's like you're supposed to find like the right type of spouse. Right? Everyone should strive to marry the right type of appropriate spouse. Go on.
But why? Like, to me, it's because of a certain kind of... You want to create a certain kind of a home or a relationship for meaning so that you can raise kids in a certain way. That's what it sounds like.
So you're saying this is just like instrumental towards Peruvu?
Yeah, or the more meaning the kind of.
What do you make of Lo Yisa Adam Yisha Vidai Telegarsha?
I think that creates a very bad environment in the home.
Meaning, no, there's no home. You're getting divorced in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, the creation of home does not necessarily mean instrumentalizing it towards children, right? Like the couple, the husband and wife are also in the home, influenced by the environment of the home. Right? And I just think these are not like even a little bit the same category as the priority student, where it's like, yeah, it's problematic for you to be in these relationships because like we think these things are objectively bad, as opposed to these are things you shouldn't do because they're not like a good way to live.
So your view is that these are all external to like things we would call pure helpless ishas. That's kind of your view. I'm saying, look how the Shulchan Aruch starts off. He starts off saying a person should always try to marry the right spouse. He starts off saying, don't marry a woman who's puzzled to you. He talks about not marrying a mamzer. Shtuki, mamzer, chalal, right? Ein nosin mehem. Like, you can't marry from those families because of chashash yisr. And then he goes in and says, talks about chalalim. And then he says, Sivav, he gets into these lighter type things. Like Bas Hamatokam, La Amara, Zaki Galda, Nose, I don't know if he has Nose Shemama, but Daito Ligarsha.
I'm not saying it's not about Ishus. I think it is about Ishus. I just think it's not about there's not different categories of marriages. They're just like things that are good or not good to please get married.
Okay. Go ahead, say more.
I don't know if I have something more to say than that.
Okay. We'll come back to our debate. We don't need to adjudicate it now. Does everybody see the type of range of issues that come up? Right? Note, Romy, that the Rivash is on the books as suggesting that in principle there's at least kvia for this one. So, Bas Tamachachm Lamaretz, right? So, for here, the Rivash thinks Kofin, Beikardin, right? So, for me, I have a nice explanation, right? The Kfiya is because, like, it's like the Torah doesn't want the union. And you're saying more, it's like, look, it's just kind of advice.
I would say the Rivash's opinion that there's Kfiya there is difficult for me.
But, it is difficult for you.
But, yeah, I would say.
Can you repeat that?
I would say, like, relies on this one sheet of the Rivash, which he doesn't mention.
I could build my case. I could build my case, right?
But to me, it's like they're generally. I don't know. They're generally not that many kfiya in these cases. I don't think.
Okay. So we want to see kfiya, and we want to see also other nafkamina. Like, what are the other nafkamina of these kind of unsanctioned unions? Right, to try to indicate like what's wrong with them. Right.
I mean, I think the same way we wouldn't say, like, meaning...
But we have the Rivash saying that we'd be kofilagarish, meikar adin.
Yes, I just think it's like, when you talk about no sishul shein mamon, you wouldn't, it's not like they're saying, oh, well, maybe he should marry, if the attendant doesn't marry for the kids, you wouldn't say, like, oh, marry someone that's totally usher to you.
Yeah, let's talk about the kashuk attendants. Let's add into the list, right? So, like, marrying a woman, shekino fa'bezla, Shino Chafetva, L'shem Peruvu. Isha She'ino Chafetva, L'shem Peruvu.
He doesn't think that's bad, though.
What? Shukei Chemet doesn't think that's bad. Well, he thinks it's a mitzvah to do. He thinks you ought to do it. My question is, do you think that comes along with, like, the... Like, is it is it right to conceptualize that as bringing with it like other aspects of Ishus that are normally associated with V'davak v'ishto etzem etzamai basar mipsari. Okay, so let's look at the Chesugei Chemed for a second. So, page 61. Anybody want to tell us about the Chesugei Chemed? Josh?
This guy doesn't have kids, and he has the opportunity to marry this woman to have kids, but he doesn't really, like, otherwise want to marry the woman at all. So.
Yeah, Eino Chafetz Ba. So, by construction, right, he doesn't like her.
Right.
He doesn't want her. Hayin Bechol Zos.
It's obvious, which means like should he like, you know, gather courage like to do it anyways? Like,
yeah, should he like, you know, strengthen himself?
We say it's like the kindness of your Rubia, or should I give a hand up on Facebook at least now?
Yeah, I think post can talk about this. Yeah, let's say a person comes to you. I have a friend who meets this description. He knew that he's about to say LGBTQ here. He knew that he wasn't interested in marrying a woman. And basically, his Rebbeim said, that's fine. Like, he knew since he was 10. And his Rebbeim in the yeshiva that he went to said, it's all good. Like, you'll date somebody, she'll fall in love with you, and after you've fallen in love, you'll tell her, and she'll still love you so much that it won't be a problem. You'll get married, you'll raise a family, and you'll all be very happy.
Yeah.
What?
What was
wrong with him?
Yeah.
What was wrong with him?
I missed
he had no interest in marrying a woman.
Oh.
Right?
I missed the...
So one thought is... One thought is that that's good counsel because this is a way to at least attempt to fulfill the mitzvah of Peru. Right? It's not so different from what the Chesugei Chemed is saying. In fact, you might say that is what the Chesugei Chemed is saying. This guy has no desire to be married. He now has an opportunity to fulfill Peruvu. Should he be misames la seisa kadei lakayim mitzvas peri berubia? One thing you might say is in this case, you say it's a very bad idea for them to get married. Because, like, that's not a sustainable type of union. No, I mean, anyway, is there at least a dialectic on this issue, or is the Chesugei Chemed totally right? As it happens, it worked out disastrously for this fellow. I think he followed this counsel, and it backfired majorly, and, no longer observant. But,
does he have a kid?
No. But the point is that, like, you might think that there's more to sanctioning a union than just lehisametz to mekayim peruvu. No.
In line with what the Rav said, though, right? You could still say, let's say, I mean, they could both still love each other through common nishtras, personality, a child that they might have, right? You could still, if they both love that child, meaning if you take the Rav just.
So let's tinker with the case. Let's say the husband hates the woman, right?
So then I think that makes it a lot more difficult because you can't really get along. Meaning, you could, without being.
So why is that different? Why is that different than the Chesugei Chemed? Why is that different than the Chesugei Chemed? So you want to distinguish between a case where he like despises her versus
it's not sexually attractive. It's not the same thing.
So let's go back to the Abar Benel. Like, would the Abar Benel say the Abar Benel's whole point is that there's a point at which it's like the kind of the main goals of marriage are no longer coherent, right?
Well, I don't remember offhand all what the Abar Benel is. But meaning, if in line of creating a household, you know, we're still supporting each other. Like, I don't know if that could still happen. I don't know what the.
I guess the question is, should a couple ever get married if the, like, by hypothesis, they don't want to be married. Is that a good way of putting it?
You know, the whole point is this is not really a marriage, I think. Because he says the whole point is, like, he said, just Brock is Monica Tsar, like,
whatever.
Right.
Well?
I feel like it strengthens his test case.
It's not even a marriage. You're so far away from Rumi right now. You're saying that this is like, we shouldn't even conceptualize this as a marriage. It's just like a permissible way of fulfilling Puravu. You're like, Misnave Veni Odea.
No, I'm not saying fully, but it's pretty close to that. Yeah, as close as you can get.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting way of conceptualizing it. I think what you're trying to say is that man havli liyuma, and same in this case of that chashuke chemed, like why even call that a marriage? Like, really, what's happening here is like there's some formal thing that has to be circumvented.
Right. The whole point is
so there's like a kedushin and there's a kedushin and a suin and a get, all kind of to make sure, like you're selling your chametz properly, and that's what it is. Like, there's nothing beyond that. Call a spade. That what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear.
Right. So my view is I agree with you, and we're on the same page, Ezra. And in fact, there could be nafkamina to that type of union. Like, there's nafkamina that fall out of that. That this is like a sham. It's a sham marriage. It's basically like IVF, in vitro fertilization with like a surrogate host, but like crossing your halachic T's and dotting your halachic I's. That's kind of the way. And it's interesting to think about what nafkamina would fall out of that, would follow from that. Rumi, you want to say something different?
I don't know.
You see, but your view, I think, would, or like the kind of the your type of view would say, like, no, what do you mean? Like, there's no reason to think this is a different type of halachic marriage. There's a chalos of nesuin and kedushin and gittin, right?
I don't know what the difference is between the two, actually, just because they're... Because you're also trying to say, yeah, it is, of course, halachic marriage is a different category of halachic, it's just a different type of it. I'm not following the distinction there.
Say it again?
I don't exactly follow the distinction. Like, I don't disagree with what Ezra and Saturn does mean to me. Like, it's basically a marriage, so that you can call it a marriage, but it's, you know.
Is there Sheva Brachos? Is there, I can make Simcha B'mono?
Yeah, but you would argue that it's a marriage.
No, I would say, so we'll see. Like, I think we'll see. So,
you didn't read my article.
I did.
I read about
the issue of Ganeslavis. Look, a lot of people think in those types of marriages, like, there's no Sudas Mitzvah. There's no Simcha B'mono. There's no Mitzvah Zishas. Like, there's no... Like, no Mitzvah of Kedushin was fulfilled. There's nothing to celebrate.
What articles is the Jesus
in the Talmud? Sorry. We'll talk about it in greater length. That's kind of, that, I think, are some clear nafkamina that fall out of it. Or that depend on it. Does that make sense? That's nodding in the affirmative. Sounds plausible. Right. What do you add? You don't like that?
I'm just getting much quicker answer.
Why?
I don't understand exactly what you're trying to argue, but I'll talk
about it. Okay, we'll talk about it. All right, so let me flesh out the... Anybody else confused just about like the main category that I'm trying to develop? Zev's not confused. Zev, explain it to Romy.
it's not like you're not, basically, like, it's still a marriage, it's just like a different kind of marriage. Like, you know, there's just like a marriage where, like, you know, it's the shame for a boo, or like whatever, yeah, or it's like the shame of something greater.
Say more. Josh?
I don't think this is what Ezra meant, but you could say that, let's say, if, let's say, there's a marriage which is just a shame for Ragu and not shame, let's say, community of man and wife or something like that as a result of the children, then that's a different type of marriage, like fundamentally, from a marriage which, let's say, has the other factors. Or you could say that, okay, they're both called nisuin, and there might be a certain ideal type of marriage. There might be, you know, most marriages we expect, let's say, to reach a certain point, but it's still under the, technically, you got married, you got the stats, you're still considered married at the end of the day.
Right.
Or you could say two different types, which I think Ezra meant the latter model, that it's one model. So it's just like the lowest possible level. It's already set, I think.
Correct. Right. We'll have to work on.
You're
trying to die. Yeah. Look, Romy, take the case. Let's look at the Manhavali Yoma cases, right? What are the Manhavali Yoma cases? Those are even arguably cruder, in a sense, than the Chashuke Chamed case. Right? So the thought is, like, there's halachic kedushin and nisuin solely for the purpose of hirhur aveira, right? It's like, what do you think of that?
In what sense?
What do you think is, like, the halachic status of that union?
It's a marriage. I don't know. It's a marriage.
Well,
it's a marriage. I mean,
it's a marriage like any other.
So that marriage like any other is worse.
I don't think it's preferred kind of marriage. Why they do it? Why they do it? They're allowed to do it. I'm not sure. Like, if you're saying, is it intuitive to me that something should be allowed? No. Like, it's a technical way. So why should that not be allowed? Because I think that if being really answered, because the Torah thinks gnosis is problematic, or whatever, is problematic, then this should also be problematic.
Just because what like what Halacha really cares about is that you did some said a few words and put a ring on your finger.
Wait, say it again.
It's getting really close. To me, the fact that all Halacha really cares about is that the person says the word harayah and then puts the ring on the finger, does whatever kinyan needs to do, is and then like that just changes everything, even if he doesn't care about the person or whatever. That seems like a loophole. I don't think it's not halakhic. I mean, law, it's whatever, comes back to how you think about law. Law is a system or whatever, that comes down from principles, and then you have, you know, these are the dinim. So technically it works based on the dinim, because that's how we set it up. But I don't think that, like, the spirit of the law, not whatever, is that you're supposed to, like what really matters here is the kingdom. Like, a thing that you did, technically.
Right, so I think I want to say that, of course, the kinyan can matter for whatever, all sorts of reasons. But, like, we're not forced to say that that's all marriage is in halacha, just like kind of some, like, harayat mekadesh esli, that you had to edim, right? Rather, like, you could distinguish between those categories of unions. Without one of them forcing you to define the other in terms of it. So, like, the Ramban in Bereishis Perek Beis, like, doesn't, you don't have to force that onto the conception of man havli liyoma. Like, something we were discussing after Shir, are these Amoraim splitting their olam haba with the women they married for, like, while they're traveling, are they? It's like, I want to say no.
That's
an nafkamina. There are other nafkamina also. Right. But people take that very seriously. People think there's, like, a very serious thing, but, like, how's schar apportioned between a husband and wife?
But we're agreeing.
Are we agreeing?
Do you think they could be a busar? What do you think?
But I don't think so. I don't think.
Correct. Married, right? Then that's the point.
Okay, so let me give another example. So let me let us think about this. We'll
Busara, like, describing a relationship. It's not necessarily.
Right.
If you don't have it, then it's not this relationship. It's just describing and say, as a result of you having this connection, you will get there. But if you don't get there, it's still nisuin.
Still nisuin.
Yeah. The only thing Busara has any legal ramifications, like, it says that, determines whether it does.
Well, the Abarbanel's point was that, right, if there's like, Basar Echad is a question of whether they are like, Hat Amas HaZivugim, like are they properly constituted for each other? And if not, then they're not Basar Echad, and the right thing to do is to get divorced. Right, that was the debate with the Catholics. Like the Catholics said, like, once you're married, you're Basar Echad, and he was saying, like, no, like, whether you're Basar Echad depends on the type of union. Right? That was the Abarbanel. It's like, if you're always fighting, you're not Basar Echad. That was the Abarbanel's analysis. No?
What would you say in this case that you're Basar Echad?
I think it would be very hard to say that. In fact, what I want to say here is, let's look at the Gemara in Gittin, and we'll close with this. Amar Rav Misharshi L'Rava, bottom 62, Libo Ligarsha V'Hiyoshev Estachem Misham Shaso. That's a bad thing, right? If the husband's heart or his mind is already set on divorcing her, it's prohibited for him to allow the wife to continue to live with him. So that's very intriguing. Better for our purposes right now is the different Gemara in Yevamos, which says, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Lo Yisadam Yishta V'Dayta L'Garsha. Same pasuk. So there's a deep question about what's the relationship between these two maimras. But what is the prohibition of Lisa Isha V'Dayta L'Garsha? What's wrong with that? So the Taz, I think, correctly says that even if they never end up getting divorced, it's wrong to enter a marriage with the intent of dissolving it. Like, the marriage should aspire towards Verastich Lilola. That's just like built into the halacha's notion of what a marriage ought to be. Right? Josh?
I mean, but conversely, from the fact that she could be mochel, makes it sound like more that it might just be a...
How do we know she could be mochel?
Well, some people think she could be mochel.
Shulchan Aruch says that. We don't know where that comes from.
Okay.
Right? So, look at the Taz just for a second. Kufi Tes Aleph. V'adai bari shelo gir sha'achar kach v'afilu hachi isura ika b'shas nesu'in lios daitokin. Well, it's like a din in the nesu'in that, like, the nesu'in should be long-term. Like, that's like the Torah, that's like the proper mindset of marriage. Then Josh, well, what happens to Shulchan Aruch? But if she consents to a short-term marriage, that's not objectionable. So there are two ways you could go here. You could say, oh, this is just about, like, misleading the wife. And if she's on board, then you're not misleading her. That's like the pure Ben Adam Machavero read of this. The other way of reading it, which is the way I would read it, is that, no, like, by default, the halacha conceives of marriage as something that's an enduring, permanent union between the husband and wife that should never be dissolved. And if whatever, if something happens later on, that has to be, that's like a later thing that has to be considered. But you could also structure a marriage different from the way that the halacha structures it by default. If the wife is on board, so you could also create this thing called the short-term union. That's amenas ligarsha, like the case of the man havi ligamra. But what you've done in that case is not just that you've solved this ben adam lechavero component, but you and your spouse have like restructured the type of union that you're entering into. That's how I want to read that case.
Would that be like a bad thing to do, or like?
It's a further question whether that's frowned upon or not. We'll see some posts explicitly say yeah, but it's still bad, right? Because you might say this violence to like the ideal institution of marriage, right? Okay, but we'll pick up with this libo ligarsha, daita ligarsha in our next year. Okay,
until next year.